On today's Compassion Radio.
This is a time that people will start to look for the eternal answers. Yeah. And this is the time that we need to be ready to move in with God's Word, working with our national partners in the different countries. There's strategic opportunities that are going to unfold before us. We don't try to chase the numbers of Bibles distributed or something like that, but rather, where can we get in strategically?
A strange thing happened on the way to a pandemic. God showed up and prepared his people for an unexpected spiritual harvest right at the epicenter of the crisis. Hello, friends, and welcome to Compassion Radio, the frontline's journal of faith in action all around the world. John Podiatry's back for a second day to share a frankly stunning story of what's happening on the ground in Wuhan, China, in the wake of the COVID-19 tragedy, and how the crisis is affecting spiritual hunger and opportunity all over Southeast Asia as a result. Prepare to be inspired, friends.
Norm was looking for every opportunity he could find to get into those countries to be able to share the word and encourage pastors that were there, or bring theological study guides and things to people who were trying to learn the word of God. So that's always been the heart of this ministry as well. I'm so glad those things are beginning to open up for you. I'd love to travel with you to Vietnam next time.
Oh, it'd be great to have you. As things come together, I'll definitely keep you informed, and we'll see if you can come over during some of our major outreaches and distributions that we have planned.
And we've got to find a way to partner up again with a specific project and a focus area. We've always done that with you. It's been China for many, many years. But because of China, the world actually has missionaries and openings that, especially in Asia, that have never been part of human history. So persecution, yes. Inconsistencies with freedoms and rights, yes. But openings to the gospel, absolutely. Some of those are quite unintended by the government of China. Where they go, God seems to be doing his work too. And sometimes the church itself does the leading and makes the entrance into places that have never been before because they're brave. We got a lot of brave Christians in China. If they're going to walk into the middle of the epicenter of a pandemic and share the gospel with their neighbors and care for them and help them carry out their dead, man, that's the kind of Christians that we say we believe in, that we want to be like. We say that that's the kind of following of Christ, the kind of agape love that the Word's calling us to and that we want to be like. But this has been the cost of their very lives for many of these Christians. Mm-hmm. Are we getting any word back yet about the kind of cost to the church directly that we know of?
I haven't seen those statistics, and as usual, information coming out of China is always mixed. I mean, we're hearing things of crosses being torn down in certain provinces than in other areas where the party is kind of flexing its muscle, and then other places where they're giving them green signals to, hey, keep doing what you're doing as you're helping this area, this city, this province rebuild. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those where you're always filtering this through, and as we look at it, we go, well, you know, let's look for those open doors and take those as a sign, you know, where there is, that things can go in smoothly. Let's go there. You know, let's not push up against where there's heavy resistance. That's not something that God has called us to do, to fight these types of battles, but just to continue to look for opportunities and hunger for the word.
Where the door's open, you walk through. Now, this is a kind of a re-encapsulation in modern day of what we read about in the New Testament. This is what the church was dealing with at the time. The Holy Land was not one united government. We had like five or six different districts that were part of the Roman Empire, and they were always sparring with each other, looking for how to gain more influence with the bigger powers. And so when you talk about the travels of Paul and Peter and the rest of the apostles, many of them would bounce from one sector to the other, run up to the southern Syrian district around Galilee to be safe because they're being persecuted in another district out toward the coast. This was what it was like for the first couple hundred years, at least, of the Christian church in the Holy Land. There was not a united Israel or a united Jordan or a united Syria at the time. They were all provinces of an empire. China is the same way today. The Han Dynasty conquered all these other provinces, but they still exist. And now, of course, communism and the Communist Party has conquered the Han Empire. They are the inheritors of that mass rule. But every district has a different attitude. And so some get mean towards Christians, some cozy up to Christians. That is the living reality in countries as big as China. And of course, it's tribal across the rest of the world. The countries you're talking about, Cambodia and Burma especially, they have centralized governments that are very top-down authoritarian, but they're dealing with a lot of language groups that you deal with. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with lots of different tribal histories and animosities between tribes that are danger inflection points. They could be a crisis for a Bible translation going in to be released and the Christian missionaries going there. You're stepping into a whole other world when you step into a village that speaks a different language.
Those are the wonderful types of opportunities being presented to us, even as another ministry partner has been working on a translation in the main Vietnamese language, mm-hmm. the national Vietnamese language.
Kind of like what Han Chinese is.
Right. At the same time, they found all these tremendous opportunities for some of the ethnic minorities, the tribal groups, the hill tribes of Vietnam, and saying that there is work now started in perhaps as many as 50 different languages. They're doing oral translation because a lot of these groups are still illiterate. They're still oral cultures, but they're trying to pass on now God's word. I told them, you know, just keep us informed, whatever we can do. Certainly, if this ever gets reduced to print form, I said, I would love to be a part of printing the first 5,000, 10,000 Gospels of John in the language of that unreached people group. And those are the types of things that get us excited because that is our roots, that somebody brought the gospel to us, to my grandfather's village in a neighboring dialect. But that was the seed that was planted barely 100 years ago, and we've seen just God do so much in reaching across our tribe within that first generation and then to neighboring tribes and on and on. And now, as God has blessed through the entire ministry of Bibles for the World, how many countries and how many scriptures we've been able to work in. We want to see that story continue. We want to see God write another chapter in His story, starting from some remote corner of Vietnam, starting from some place in Nepal, in different parts of India.
In some ways, I would say the story of the Great Commission the past couple hundred years especially has been kind of like a reverse engineering of the first centuries. If we think about how the Bible came to be, it wasn't written down by somebody and shared. It was spoken. Job was an oral tradition handed down that we believe was codified into a written language in early Hebrew by Moses and Aaron and the Levites. They committed themselves to commit to papyrus and other forms of writing what they knew of the story that had been told to them for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the same thing's true of the rest of the prophets and all the history. They were written down because they were sung. The Psalms were not first written and then performed. They were performed and then recorded. And the same thing is true of all the epistles. Now, we come to a more literate era. Greeks brought written language into the education system, and the Romans adopted that. So many things, the stories that were recorded, were quickly translated into a written form and then circulated that way. And now we're back to a place in time where the majority of the world still auditory learners. And you're finding a way to take all of that wisdom and knowledge and translation skill and discipline and putting that back into how do we reach those who can't read that word yet and start like they did at the very beginning. I think it's marvelous.
And in the process, we try to harness technologies
yes.
that we have that they didn't have in those
exactly.
days. Just simple audio recording didn't exist. It was dependent in those days you spoke of just on people's rote memory and being able to recite those word for word
right.
and carry the integrity of those stories into what is now our scripture. But now we're blessed with the technologies that we can record these, that they can be refined, they can be edited so easily.
Like you and I sitting around the coffee table today having this conversation. You know, 60 years ago, this would not be physically possible. We have a recording studio and a stick about 4 inches long and high-quality microphones in order to record this message together, to be as present as people being able to hear the sound of the coffee in my coffee cup while we're talking. That's a kind of presence and involvement and immediacy that was not possible thousands of years ago. But the story itself, the way it's translated from mouth to mouth, from mind to mind, from heart to heart, that's something that God has been about since He created mankind. Mm-hmm. The stories of your ancestors that came to India from China, that was a, what we call it a myth, but it was enough of a motivation for you as new Christians to go back and find a way to your headwaters as a people and bring the gospel back to them. Mm-hmm. And that story was one that was profoundly moving to me, that your family could finally, in your generation, see the dream of your father and grandfather become a reality. And that is happening. I remember asking you a number of times, like I asked many other people as we travel, how long is this door open? How long will this window show us a view of what's going on inside that country? How long do you think it's going to be? There was a lot of conflicting voices, even last year when we traveled. The government was saying, get ready, because there's going to be new changes to what we do as a country. There'll be much more pressure from the government to be making things much more Chinese-centric.
Right. The cynicization of Christianity, we talked about it so much on that trip. And how is it actually going to work itself out?
Are they going to try to worm their way right into the scriptures and make things more palatable to them? That pressure on the Word of God itself to conform to political realities on the ground in that generation have always been there since the beginning of time. But China's not the only country that's doing this.
Right, and it's not out of the question, but at the same time, we've seen that they don't want the West to come in and interpret Scripture for them.
Westernize everything.
And bring it in as something with an American or Western face to it.
Right.
So the cynicization of Christianity. We got to take that as people who want to support the body of Christ and the building of the kingdom within China. And that means we've got to be less visible but still there to encourage, equip, and strengthen the existing Christians, especially some of those people that we met, pastors, seminary professors, that are so on fire for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people we need to keep lifting up so that they can do the work that and it has an entirely Chinese face.
And they're
to it.
Not just figureheads either. They're not just the face of a Western organization representing them to the people as if they're an ambassador for us. We're saying God is 100% on the front lines with them and through them. We are supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take ourselves out of the equation and don't make ourselves so important in our own eyes, we get a whole lot more done because God, I think, is a lot more happy with our attitude. We don't need to be the hero every time.
Right. What you mentioned, that's been something that the Chinese government has been addressing, you could even say attacking, by those organizations that are registered that are really propped up like that. And they have that figurehead Chinese person. But they're saying these are not really true organizations. They're not really Chinese in nature. And so they had so many of those registrations were canceled. That was going on when we were there. That whole wave had started. But what does it leave? It leaves those who are legitimate, who are doing their work, who are driven, and who are going to do it. Whether there is funding from the West, whether there is resources from the West, no, they're creating their own resources as well from within the country. These are the things that we're looking for, these types of opportunities to get behind and support quietly behind the scenes.
And not even quietly if necessary. If we need to have a boisterous dinner together and win friends and influence people that way as their foreign friend that comes in there, we'll be there. We're not afraid of showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it is honoring those who do God's work in His places where He has placed them. That is absolutely, I think, the future of Bible and evangelical outreach in the world, is how those who have the resources treat the opportunity to serve those who are going to use those resources and be faithful stewards of them to reach their nations.
We'll be back right after this. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion.
How those who have the resources treat the opportunity to serve those who are going to use those resources and be faithful stewards of them to reach their nations. That, to me, is the bigger question. But I need to get back to what you see coming up now. You are the mind that has to sort through all these struggles and all these opportunities. That's your job. What do you see coming in the year from now? I know you have to prognosticate some ways to be able to give a vision for your donors and for the people that will be distributing, and you can't be held to that as if it's some kind of prophecy from God Himself, unless He gives you revelation. but you are responsible for at least casting a vision. This is what my hopes and dreams are for. This is what we are praying for. If we're going to be involved with helping to get Bibles to the front lines of faith in the next year or two or five, what are we up against, and why should we focus on it now? In the middle of a pandemic, why should we be caring about the people who need the Word of God around the world?
Well, certainly, Graham, during this time of this pandemic, it has rattled all of our worlds. Everything that we do now, from just stepping out to go to the grocery store, has changed. And this is a time to consider that around the world, that same type of shift is happening in people's mindsets. This is a time that people will start to look for the eternal answers. Yeah. And this is the time that we need to be ready. That we need to be ready to move in with God's Word, working with our national partners in the different countries. There's strategic opportunities that are going to unfold before us. We want to be able to ready to move in there. That's what we've always looked for. We don't try to chase the numbers in terms of numbers of Bibles distributed or something like that, but rather, where can we get in strategically where there's a hunger, where there's such a calling, people crying out for God's Word? Or where we see the Holy Spirit moving. This takes different shapes and forms in these different countries, especially as we look across Asia. But we're seeing those types of things developing in Vietnam, in Laos, in Thailand, in Myanmar, in India, Nepal, places like that. Bhutan is another one too. And so these are very exciting. We ask for prayer for God's wisdom over this, over us, as we try to discern these different opportunities that are presented to us. So we just ask for a lot of prayer support, even as we launch out in this way.
If you think about a country that has a closed reputation, countries that, if we looked at our atlas or our globe and pointed, I know nothing about that country. That's probably a good indicator that God's at work right now. Because those countries that we have so little experience with is where God's Spirit is way out ahead of us. And you're discovering people that God has already brought to the front before you even showed up. And your job is to discover what God's already doing and to find a way to help get the job done more effectively and get more people into the Word. We feel like we have bear the same kind of yoke, that if we can get into places, we're going to bear witness to what God's already up to, not to try to tell people what's coming, but simply to be there when God does His work. That thing can be transformative to us back here in America if we'll just listen to the stories. If we'll make the effort to go and hear, or send people to go do it for us so we'll understand better, we'll know how to pray better, we'll know how to give more effectively, and we'll give with the kind of expectation that God's really going to use it. Not just that we hope it might be effective, but we've heard the stories of people who have really been changed by the power of the Word of God, by the gospel coming to their village, by their families coming to Christ, by their cultures being transformed into a gospel worldview, that God is a redemptive and loving God, and that He is personally involved in the affairs of men, and He wants you to represent Him to others so they can know the same kind of love. That is transformational news.
Well, what you mentioned, Bram, you know, when we see countries on the closed country list or you know, with so many barriers and obstacles for the gospel to get in, that always gets us excited because, as you said, we know God is working there in ways differently, but amazingly, wonderfully, must be at work in those countries, because we know He's at work all over the world. At the same time, it also gets us going because it's like, okay, what can we do to help move that forward? Those are the things that really get our blood pumping.
And there's been plenty of times I've sat down people that have said, well, that's not true. That can't be happening there because there are no Christians in that country. And I'm thinking to myself, well, do you want to hear a story or do you want to just keep believing what you think you believe? There are plenty of us here that just get a narrative locked in our minds. We think that God can't reach people, or that He has not, therefore He must not like them, and therefore I don't have to love them either. That's a very, very dangerous place to be if you're going to claim to be a follower of Christ, to hide behind this sense of entitlement to look down on anybody. And then if you actually go and open your hearts and minds, say, okay, God, I'm open. Show me what you're up to. I have not been on a trip, John, where God doesn't answer that in the first person, where He doesn't show up and say, here's my person, learn from them.
Right. Yep. It's all part of fulfilling what is written in the Scriptures. Every nation, every tongue will confess. Yeah. Just to be able to be a part of that, you know, that's just wonderful, you know, that God has called us in this way.
Yeah, we read the story of Babel from the very beginnings of our Bible and say, what a horror, what a tragedy that all these people were broken apart. They didn't speak the same language anymore. that this weird transformation of people into languages that couldn't understand each other anymore. It's a great metaphor, of course, about the separation of mankind. But when I look about what God says about every tongue, every people will confess me as Lord, the story of Babel is not a tragedy. This is God multiplying his creativity. And if people are going to live apart from each other, eventually they will converge back again to something that is eternal. That's what this promise is.
God's going to bring it all back together through the person of Jesus Christ.
The sea of glass singing praises of God himself in heaven. We read that kind of imagery in Revelation. All mankind is singing praises of God, and we'll all know and understand the heart of it. That's a beautiful picture. I think God loves to see more than just one flower in the world. I think he loves to see more than just one people group, more than hearing just one language at a time. It thrills him to hear his name spoken in every language of men that's been invented. I'm just always thrilled when I get to sit down and talk with you about what it's like to be in the middle of all that, because we only get to go with you very few times. But you're busy, busy, busy. And now, of course, you're busy with Zoom calls and keeping people apprised of how the Word of God is going forth, even in these pandemic times. I do hope that our people will pray along with you, not just that the Word will get out, but that whatever God's got planned for the 21st century, that he's on it and that he will invite us along for the ride. We want to be witnesses to it with you as well. We talked last year about how we know it's technically possible to reach every single people group in the world by the end of this century. We know it can be done. It's just a matter of identifying which groups are yet to actually receive their own story in their language to tell the gospel to them. How it's going to come. Start with orality or with printed word. What's going to be required to reach them. We know it can be done. And God knows it can be done too. And he's letting a pandemic happen at the beginning of this 21st century for a reason. I'm certain of that as well. I don't think God is cruel. I don't think he is unaware. But I also think that we need to not assume that God is punishing the wicked with this thing, or that he's somehow going to keep those who are faithful away from this thing. We need to be aware that God's purposes may not be really clear to us right now, but his purposes for what we are to be, no matter what situation we find ourselves, is clear too. It's as clear as the other things are mysterious to us.
And in the end, it will work according to his purpose, and he says, I will draw all men unto myself.
Yeah. So if there's one stated purpose we can hang our hat on, is that he will continue to draw people to himself until he's got everything that he wants. And he's not a selfish God in the sense that we are. He is jealous for us because his love is so big. He wants to fill us with it. So we are so glad to be part of the team. John, as we close today, I've been reading this letter you've just sent out to your donors, this Harvest for Asia idea that you have. Many have talked in language like that over the past few years. Why is this particular Harvest for Asia unique, and what do you believe God's going to do through it? And how are people responding to it already?
Well, as I mentioned, Bram, you know, we've just seen tremendous hunger for the Word within this area, and opportunities as we explore one, another two, another three pop up, and they're all very exciting. And as I've shared this with our donors, even as it's coming together, you know, it's still very formative, and we don't know the extent to which God is going to develop.
Well, we're talking a radius, like outside of China, maybe 1,000 miles across Asia.
But, you know, in that radius, there's probably 2/3 of the world's population.
Exactly.
And most of the unreached people are in that area as well.
Yeah.
And so that's what's so exciting. And a couple of our donors have already responded with some fairly significant gifts.
Awesome.
And we're going to ask them, can we use those as challenge gifts to match dollar for dollar? And so we're looking right now at a minimum of a $50,000 challenge gift that has led the way into our Harvest for Asia.
Awesome.
And we would love for listeners through Compassion Radio to join in with us on this so that they know that their gifts are going to be multiplied here as we reach out with God's Word across Asia.
I do believe it's time for us to step into this together with you again. So let's work on the details about that. I'll make sure to report to my people as soon as we can join in on that challenge when it becomes available, to be able to know that our dollars that we invest through Compassion Radio can be doubled. That's always an important motivator, to know that other people are standing with us in doing something important.
It's so exciting, and a lot of our donors, both big and small, they love that because
they do.
The energy, the momentum, the prayer, everything that's created in the process, you know, we just know God is going to use it, and he will multiply it. He will give the real increase to all of this.
John, it's great to hear that that opportunity is showing itself again this year. Especially when people would assume that all the donation dollars have shrunk to zero. People are afraid. They're putting their money into mattresses now instead of banks. But we are not the kingdom that is afraid or ashamed. The kingdom of God around the world are the people that always step up when there is crisis, because God gives them a kind of wealth that no one else in this world has.
Because it's based according to His riches and glory.
His riches and glory. And He wants that glory flowing through us. Thank you so much again for sharing a bit of the story. Let's pick it up as soon as we have more news. Maybe from Wuhan, when the pictures start arriving finally. We find out how many of those Gospels of John and New Testament got into the hands of new believers.
Yeah, it'll be wonderful to be able to share some of those stories. I'm anxiously awaiting them myself.
Amen. Thank you again for joining us on Compassion Radio today.
Thank you.
Our thanks to John Podiety, president of Bibles for the World, and our prime Bible distribution partner for Compassion Radio. His wisdom and insight is unparalleled, and his friendship means the world to me. I hope you'll support us as we support Bibles for the World through our many Bible projects. When you call or write us today with your tax-free gift, make sure to ask for Michael O'Brien's brand new music project, Crown Him, available on CD or for digital download. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. And our mailing address, once again, is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the web at CompassionRadio.com. Join us again Monday for the next Compassion Radio.